You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. Markets have been eagerly anticipating the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. And I'm joined on the line by Gary Boyson, Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, to take a look at some of the other market movements throughout the day, as well as what else could be driving sentiment. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to catch up with you as always. It's been a quiet start to the week relative to how the week closed. We closed out quite bullish last week, and you kind of thought that momentum would continue, but markets clearly showing a bit of hesitation around the inauguration. It is an inevitable inauguration, but I suppose markets might be worried around those 100-plus executive orders that we could see being signed in a couple of hours.
Absolutely. I think we're ushering in the age of uncertainty. So not too much movement in the overall index. All share index was up 0.04, so we can call that flat. The resources had a fairly good day, up about 0.25%. The industrials, also a strong day. I think a little bit of optimism around a phone call between Xi Jinping and the U.S. Maybe some of those tensions between the U.S. and China just settling down a little bit. So we had the likes of Naspers and Prosus up significantly. They kind of dragged the whole index up. So that finished 0.42% up. Financials having a slightly more difficult time. That was down just over 0.5%. And I think maybe also the expectation that interest rates are going to be a little bit higher. Another thing that we need to consider is that the U.S. is also closed this evening. So the S&P 500, NASDAQ not trading this evening because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is a public holiday. It's actually got nothing to do with the Trump inauguration. It's just a coincidence that they fall on the same day. I think you might be right around the fears around what's going to happen with these executive orders, because we have seen the dollar index start to weaken from that 110 level down to 108.2. So we've seen the dollar starting to weaken against almost everything else. We've also seen the oil price start to slip. This morning we came in, it was above $80 a barrel. We've just traded down 1.5%, now trading below 80. So maybe everyone waiting to see if these executive orders are as sweeping and as dramatic as was promised on the campaign trail.
Well, Donald Trump currently holds the record, or the second place, for the most number of executive orders by any U.S. president, succeeded only by Jimmy Carter at 320 executive orders. Donald Trump comes in a close second at 220 odd executive orders. And if he plans to sign in 100 in his first kind of couple of hours of his new term of office, then we could be in for, as you said, the age of uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely. So Biden also wasn't shy of signing the executive order. So as of the 20th of December, he had signed 160 executive orders. And I think a lot of the executive orders that Trump will sign will also reverse the moves that Biden has made. And I think he really wants to stamp his authority on the new administration. So we don't really know what the executive orders are going to be. And of course, these can still be blocked by Congress. They can be blocked by, or at least challenged by Congress, challenged in the court system as well. So we'll see what happens, but it does seem like it's going to definitely focus around the Mexican border, potential of declaring a national emergency there, potentially huge deportations as well. Also sanctions on Iran, all sorts of different things. A lot of promises to live up to from the Trump administration. A lot of promises were made on the campaign trail, and I think they're already breaking them, because I think they also said before he's inaugurated there would be an end to the Russia-Ukraine conflict while he was president-elect. So I think a lot of change coming, and a lot of change when there's a complex system like the global economy. It's not always a good thing, because these kind of executive orders can have sweeping ramifications that are very, very unpredictable. But we buckle in and we see what comes in the next couple of days.
Certainly going to be an interesting day, or interesting couple of days of movements. But some of those movements that took place today that surprised markets, I don't think they really surprised markets. It was inevitable with the inauguration day drawing closer and closer, and the relationship that we've seen Donald Trump have with the cryptocurrency world. Bitcoin hit 2 million rand a coin today. I know that for the longest time people have been saying this is nothing. We still have CEOs like Jamie Dimon calling this a scam. There's always two sides to every coin, and I suppose in this case depends on how much that coin is worth.
Absolutely, two sides to every Bitcoin. So, looking at it, Donald Trump has made a huge reversal in his crypto policy on the campaign trail, promising to make the U.S. the crypto capital of the world. And I mean, I don't know. We look back to, if you remember, El Salvador adopted, I think it was Bitcoin and their own unit as legal tender, and it's had interesting effects. And I think it's still almost too soon to tell. So clearly, we see a lot of the global institutions. Really flagging this as a terrible idea for El Salvador. You know, the IMF saying that if they continue to use Bitcoin, they're not going to basically be given loans. A lot of pressure coming from the ratings agencies as well. And even after the initial adoption, a lot of El Salvadorian people say that they would much rather be using the dollar. But again, it's one of those big uncertain events. You can kind of understand where the run in crypto has come from, though. A lot of it is the idea that there's going to be deregulation around it. A lot of the formal mechanisms within the financial system, in South Africa included, have started to adopt regulatory frameworks around cryptocurrencies, which has allowed for the launch of all sorts of crypto ETFs, informal markets on formal exchanges with real protection for investors. And what you've seen is a lot of the early adopters of crypto have almost sold out to, and we don't know if they're selling out because it's very, very anonymous, but they might also be converting their holdings into more formal markets. But what we have seen is a massive inflow into these ETFs, into these regulated products around crypto, and the demand is very, very high. So, yeah, crypto running at the moment, but again, I don't know how to value this. You know, everyone tells me that it's about scarcity. There's only so many coins that can ever be mined, but if you can keep duplicating coins, I believe Donald Trump and Melania Trump have now launched their own coins ahead of the inauguration as well. If you can keep on duplicating it, what kind of scarcity is there? And of course, how do you value it? I mean, some people say fundamentally you can value it on the electricity consumption, and that can kind of give you an underpin. But it's not other than being potentially a store of value and a medium of exchange, like, it doesn't create anything, and that's always going to be a concern. So our view is, it's an interesting asset class. It's very dynamic. It's very exciting if the world was to move towards decentralized currency, but buyer beware. Be very, very careful.
The Trump coin, I forgot that we even had that. It's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. Speaking of valuations and how you value things, I want to look at this before you go, Gary. This happened a while ago. It happened late last year, but it's kind of gone fairly unnoticed and fairly under the radar. The post office issued new stamps in November of last year, and the stamp that was issued on November 16 of last year bears the face of the President of the Republic, President Cyril Ramaphosa. Valuations. At some point, stamps used to be a rarity, and in some countries, you can still collect stamps. Is that the case in South Africa?
No, I'm sure. I'm not a stamp collector, but for us, it falls squarely in the alternative asset class. And a lot of the alternative asset classes, they do generate their value through scarcity, because the reason that a stamp collection or a coin collection or a piece of art is very different from a bond or a share is that a bond will pay you a coupon. And, you're lending a company money or you're lending a government money, and they're promising to give you more money when they repay you. So the same with a share, you're taking a stake in a company. The company is going to produce things. When they sell it and make a profit, you're going to have a claim on those profits via dividends or share buybacks. And that's where the value comes from those two asset classes, which are the major asset classes. If you look at the alternatives, a lot of this comes to scarcity. So the very rare stamps are obviously worth a lot of money because you can't replicate that specific run. If a stamp has an error in it, for example, and there was only one run of it, there's that scarcity. But remember that anything only has value because someone else will buy it from you. And if stamps fall out of favor and no one's collecting stamps anymore because we're not using the post office and we're all on email and stamps become something of the past, that stamp collection is not going to have the kind of longevity that you might expect.
Very interesting take on alternative assets. Just out of interest, there are 750,000 stamps that were printed that bear the face of President Cyril Ramaphosa there. So I don't know how scarce that makes that. But we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Gary, thanks so much, as always, for the time and for the insights. Gary Boyson, Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, joining us to take a look at some of the market movements throughout the day, as well as what's potentially been driving those.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.